Champion's Portion, Chapter 10. Samhain was the start of the Celtic year, and a time for sacrifices and community gatherings, the portals between life and that of the world of the Tuatha De Danann were more apparent at the beginning of winter, or the darker half of the year, and a time when wondrous events could be expected. Cuchulainn had left Almanacha for his own lands in the Dún at Dundalga, and Conall had gone to Dal Riada to collect his due. The hunchback, Shell, was in the act of closing the outer gates when they were rudely thrust open and a massive churl shoulders away his way in and made for the hall of the Cré of Ruadh, where Conor and his nobles ate and drank. A rank stench rose from this rough hide mantle, filled the hall as the churl entered, his yellow eyes flickering around the benches. In one hand, his thick fingers clutched an axe, the dully gleaming iron head of which would have weighed that of a bull, the edge honed so that it cut the light. In the other, he carried a stained and splintered chopping block. His stained tunic barely covered his rump, and his naked legs were thick as oak stumps. Without a word, the brute stamped his way down the hall and came to a halt, slouched against one of the fork beams near the central hearth. "Come, stranger, and sit at our table, for we would liefer hear tales of strangeness which I warrant you could tell." The churl grunted, but did not move from where he had leant against the pillar. "Far have I travelled in my quest, from Alba in Britannia, even to Gaul, Greece and Scythia, and nowhere have I found a man to do me fair play. But you, men of the Ulaid, warriors of the Cré of Ruadh, such is your strength and valour, dignity, and generosity be bruised abroad, that I have come here in expectation of my boon." "Tell us what you seek, then," asked Conor, leaning forward to better look at the churl. "If you guarantee fair play." "There is no man here," Seneca intervened, "who would rather not die than to break his sworn word in this great hall of the Cré of Ruadh. Surely you will find many here who are worthy of you, with the exception of Conor, on account of his crown, and Fergus MacRiach, for the same privilege."
"Come then," the churl boomed, straightening up. "This is what I'm craving. Come, whoever you are, so that with this axe, I first may sever his night tonight, and he mine tomorrow."
Lyra laughed nervously.
"The other way around, surely, you mean? You to suffer the beheading tonight, for you need not about retribution the following day if you behead your adversary now."
"If that were in my quest, would it be easily found?" the churl replied. "But by my troth, then, I will honour your request, provided that you honour me so. On the morrow, Lyra stood up and took the axe from the churl's grasp. The brute laid the block on the floor in front of the high table and knelt, stretching his bare neck out on the stained block. Lyra paused and spat on his hands before grasping the axe again. Taking a deep breath, he raised the axe above his head, the weight making his arms tremble with the strain, before smashing the finely honed edge on the churl's neck. The head sprang from the trunk as a thick gout of blood poured onto the strewn rushes of the flagged hall. Scarcely had Lyra wrenched the axe free from where it was embedded in the wood of the chopping block, when a gasp from the high table made him look over his shoulder as the headless body quivered and ponderously pushed itself up into its knees. Its muscular arms sightlessly groping for his head. Having found it and clasping the axe and block to his bloody chest, the churl moved jerkily down the hall, filling those who saw the spectacle with awe at the marvel that had been witnessed.
Oh, yeah, if you man the poker, having been locked tonight, comes back tomorrow, not a man alive will be left here, Briquew declared.
The following night, however, when the churl returned, Lyra was nowhere to be seen.
Where is Lyra the triumphant? Surely it's not right that you should break his covenant with me, the churl demanded, looking around the great hall. Is there anyone else who would pledge their word with me?
He raised his great axe above his head and shook it threateningly. Conall, who was sitting with the other nobles, made not a stir out of him, and the churl spat noisily on the floor and left after shouting out that he would return the following night for the last time to meet any new challengers. The next night, the churl returned, fierce in aspect and furious in manner, and continued to rebuke the nobles of the Cray of Ruid. The great hall was crowded that evening, as everyone craned forward to get a glimpse of the strange marvel.
I now know that the men of the Cray of Ruid, the warriors of Arwenacca, the fighting men of the Ulaid, have lost their valour, and their prowess is no more. It has been wisely bruited abroad that ye covet the champion's portion, yet have you no man that can contest it. Where is the pup who called the hound? I would fain know if his word were better than the bond of others.
Cucullin stood up leisurely.
I have
no lust for adventures, nor do I need a churl such as you to validate my word.
Likely so, the churl sneered. Does you fear to die like all the others?
Who, Cullen? Sprang up, his face flushed with anger, and he snatched the axe from the churl's hand. Not waiting for the block to be placed on the floor, Cuchulainn twirled on his heel, and leaping in the air, he swung the axe with the full force of his body behind it, so that the head crashed against the panel, separating the high table from the rest of the hall. Not content with that, Cuchulainn scooped up the dripping head on the flat of the axe bed and tossed it in the air before swinging the axe like a hurley, sending the head crashing among the top rafters of the Craig Ruth. The headless body again struggled to its feet, picking up the axe and block, and then stumbled down the hill in search of its head. The following night, the hall was crowded to see if Cuchulainn would avoid his appointment with the mysterious churl, as the other heroes had done. Connor sat by his side while Fergus busied himself with pouring strong drink for himself and his foster son. Cuchulainn sat sunk in silence, his chin resting almost upon his chest, and Connor knew the youth was scared. Indeed, a gloom had settled on the hall, and no amount of candlelight could dispel the darkness that would attend on them when the child returned. Cuchulainn looked up at Fergus and his king. "Stay with me here, I beg you. Although my pledge is fulfilled, I fear death is nigh, but I would fain die with honour, and not to feign the ancient prophecies." The door to the hall was suddenly thrown open with a crash, and the Charles strode in, angry, glaring. "Where is the pup, Cuchulainn?" he demanded. Cuchulainn stood up and jumped down from the dais to meet his nemesis. "Here I am," he said shortly. "Ha ha! Not so chatty now, I perceive," chuckled the churl, slowly grinding a sharpening stone along the already keen edge of his axe. "You're a bit lifeless compared to the previous time we met, and yet..." He paused, and the nobles in the hall shrank back from the grinding stone of the whetstone and the iron blade. "It is more lifeless I will leave you when I depart. Stretch your neck out now, bolster," the churl demanded, testing the edge of the blade with his own horny thumb. Cuchulainn knelt down and laid his head in the depression in the reeking block. "A bit more. Stretch out your neck more, so that I can see it," the churl demanded, as he laid the sharp edge on Cuchulainn's neck, preparatory to raising the weapon above his head. "Don't jeer at me so," Cuchulainn cried. "Finish me off, if that is what you mean, but do not delay." "Jesus, I can't," says the churl. "Your neck is too small, and the depression in the block is so deep that the axe cannot reach it properly. Stretch your neck out more so that I can see it." Cuchulainn took a deep breath, pushed and strained against the block so that a child's fist could be inserted between each of his ribs. Again, the churl raised the axe above his head and waited a moment before sweeping the blunt side down and touching Cuchulainn gently with it. "Arise, Cuchulainn, most noble and valorous of all men, for you alone braved the head test. And for that alone, I accord you the champion of all the Ulaid warriors, the champion portion to be your just award. Disputed by none, and that the Lady Ymir should take precedence above all the ladies of the court always, and I swear now, before you, on all the names of the ancient gods, that whoever moves against you in these things, his life will be forfeited accordingly. The churl vanished, and in his place stood the mighty Cúraoi mac Daire, who also vanished as soon as the nobles had caught sight of him.